Welcome to this introduction to Good Golly Miss Molly, a new Vic production that has burst onto the stage as part of our 40th anniversary celebrations. I'm Pam Beach, and along with Brenda Hennessy, we'll be audio describing the show on Saturday the 2nd of May at 2:15 p.m. Both halves of the show are just over an hour long with a 20-minute interval. The touch tour will start at 1:15. We'll meet you by the box office a few minutes beforehand. One of the biggest hits in New Vic history, Good Golly Miss Molly is a powerful, music-fuelled, feel-good drama, pulsing with energy and nostalgia. It has a foot-stomping soundtrack of hits from an era gone by. The story is inspired by what was happening in Tunstall during the late 1980s and researched, like one of Peter Cheeseman's original documentaries, through interviews with residents. Bob Eaton made it into a rock and roll musical, performed at the New Vic in August 1989. He has returned to direct this show. Liz Evans, the theatre's resident designer, was the assistant designer for the original production, and she has designed both set and costumes for this one. The play is based on the front line of a local community fighting for survival as Victoria Street faces demolition in 1989. In a slum clearance scheme. But Molly Gordon and her band of neighbours are refusing to go quietly and form a housing association to fight the council. Gathered together in the local working men's club, Molly's even managed to reunite her former rock and roll band, Ronnie Angel and the Devils. As the fate of their homes is decided, the residents of the street relive the community's past and the triumphs and tragedies of their daily lives. Good Golly Miss Molly charts the history of this local community in Stoke-on-Trent against a backdrop of social turmoil, societal changes, and tumultuous friendships. Is there a future for their street? Before I describe the set, I'll tell you first about the auditorium in case you haven't visited this theatre before. The New Vic is a theatre in the round with tiered, upholstered purple seats surrounding a 10-metre diameter circular stage. Three evenly spaced, tunnel-like entrances lead up onto the stage. Two are used by actors and audiences, and the third, slightly larger main entrance, is used only by actors. Thinking of a clock face, if the main entrance is at 12 o'clock, the other two entrances are at 4 and 8 o'clock. During the audio description, we'll name the 4 o'clock entrance the right entrance and the 8 o'clock entrance the left entrance. By the main entrance towards 1 o'clock and beside the left entrance towards 9 o'clock, there are two sections of acting space we call notches. Behind the audience seating is a circular pathway known as the promenade. From it, five sets of aisle steps lead down to the stage. In the aisles, at the end of each row of seats, there are small handrails to assist ascent and descent. The aisles and promenade are used by both audience and actors. Above the promenade, a balcony houses two rows of seats and is edged with a safety barrier. Fixed high above the stage is a large lighting rig, complete with walkways known as the grid. props may be stored or stowed from here. The setting for this show is the function room of a working men's club in 1989, and it wasn't modern. The designer says, "When the audience enters the auditorium, it should feel like they're stepping back into the 1980s. The front row of audience seating has been removed and replaced by metal chairs with red vinyl seats and backs. In front of them are small, circular, red-topped club tables set with ashtrays, beer mats and almost empty beer glasses. In front of the main entrance, taking up the space to the aisle on each side and encompassing the 1 o'clock notch, is a large, low stage. It's covered in speckled pale green lino. This stage houses all that would be appropriate for a 1960s band. A drum kit with Ronnie Angel and the Devils written on the facing drum. Amps, monitors, 4 mic stands, guitars and a keyboard. Behind the stage, the back of the entrance is covered by a silver foil strip curtain. In front of the stage is a 5.5 metre by 4.5 metre dance floor with a bevel surround. This is a second-hand original square block parquet floor. Carpet surrounds the dance floor, extending under the club tables and chairs and into the 2 entrances used by the audience. It's heavily patterned in dark red, green and cream. All the entrance and notch walls are clad with plywood dados and grey patterned wallpapers above. Entrances have kotooks on them and broken down pinboards with old notices sourced from the late 80s period in the area. These include club adverts, jumble sale notices, raffle tickets, a Beatle drive sheet, postcards, the date of the friendly match between Port Vale and Stoke City, even the torch and Jolly's posters. The 8 o'clock notch is used for storing props, furniture and some costumes. A small table, a metre by half a metre, is stored in this notch when not in use. It's frequently used, starting as the table in Molly's home, then a cafe and so on. 4 wooden chairs with red vinyl seats and 4 vinyl top stools are scattered near the club tables. Characters often sit on these and they're used in some scenes, actors lifting and moving them together in choreographed sequences as they sing. Beverly Norris Edmonds, as the choreographer and movement director, has had much to devise for this production, including a sequence for demolition men at work with tools and a ladder. Minimal props are used throughout the fast-paced show. Although the play is set in 1989 in this working men's club, we follow the life and experiences of Molly through flashbacks from her life, starting at the age of 5 on Coronation Day in 1953. The small table is placed centre stage and 4 chairs put round it. Jelly on a paper dish and a spoon, the only props used. Grandad minds the opening and shutting of a window. For a scene when Molly is 10, 3 chairs are set side by side as a sofa and switching off a TV set is mimed. For a wedding reception, a 2.5 metre long piece of bendy plywood covered by a white cloth is carried in. It's flicked over and placed on top of the small table, revealing plates, cutlery, champagne glasses, white serviettes, and a central wedding cake stuck to the underside. This usually gets a little laughter from audiences. Stools and chairs are put in place to make the top table at the reception. When Molly goes to a front step and watches three boys trying to do a shadows walk with tennis rackets and a cricket bat for guitars, she stands on a step in the middle of the 6 o'clock aisle, the boys at the bottom of the aisle. All the aisles are used from time to time. In 1963, the 15-year-old Molly finds herself facing the headmaster in his office. The small table is used as his desk in front of his brown leather swivel chair. A mesh metal waste paper basket sits beside it. Inside Molly's battered leather satchel are several exercise books, a fan magazine, and a couple of 45 records. In a scene at the co-op, a life-size floppy female dummy used in first aid training is dressed like the shop assistants. In 1964, the band, with their guitar cases, travels in a van. The small table comes in use again to improvise the van's back seat where three of them sit. Two stools in front become the van's front seats. The driver holds a cymbal as a steering wheel, and the lad sitting beside him holds up a drumstick with a mirror attached near the top for the van's rear mirror. Other locations in the flashbacks are a gig at an art college, London, and a flat there in the early 1970s, Ronnie's dressing room and later his kitchen, back in the Potteries and striking miners with placards, an MUM office with secretary's desk, typewriter and swivel chair, Molly's home with ironing board, iron and basket of laundry, in a garden where there are two folding chairs and a plaid rug to sit on, a residents' association meeting, a public meeting with a council representative and a councillor, a meeting with a community architect. We move swiftly from scene to scene as the story unfolds. A few other props used include suitcases, newspapers of the day, pound notes, unorthodox cigarettes, buckets, crockery, a teapot covered by a knitted cosy, letters, papers, files and clipboards. As always, lighting is important in a production and different colours and hues are used. Daylight through a window is occasionally projected across the floor. When Shelton Bar is viewed, a pool of bright red light burns in the centre of the dance floor and the promenade is bathed in pulsing red light. Background sounds of shunting steam trains are heard. To lead into one scene, a brief projection of outlines of houses, the word demolition in capital letters across it, covers the whole of the floor. Twice a glitter ball hangs above the space, and as it revolves, spots of white light sweep anti-clockwise over the audience. From the pre-show music of 1980s pop hits, music pervades this show. A variety of guitars, saxophones, a trumpet, and a half-moon tambourine are played, as well as the skittle band's tea chest and washboard. The whole company of actors, playing instruments and singing together, will delight you with their music. Brenda will now tell you about those actors and the characters they play.
From the New Vic's final design presentation, 10 actor musicians tell the story, playing numerous instruments and characters, with minimal costume changes, although there are some complete changes and a number of wigs to help illustrate character doubling and the passage of time. Some characters are presented as young children through their teens and 20s, up to the 40s, to the present day of 1989. The costumes are sourced from the new Vic stock vintage clothes. We first meet the eponymous Molly Gordon in 1989. She's in her early 40s, of medium height and build, with straight brown shoulder-length hair worn with a fringe. She wears a red woolen three-quarter coat with padded shoulders, over a white shirt and straight knee-length black skirt and black court shoes. She carries armfuls of posters and campaign materials. We step back to 1953. Molly is 5. She wears a long red dressing gown and red slippers. A slide clips back her hair. In the 1960s, she wears a checked cotton pinafore dress and red T-bar sandals. An anorak is added for an event. Later, as a 15-year-old teenager in school uniform, she wears a black skirt and white shirt with her school tie askew. Her now thick brown hair held in a ponytail. She carries a brown leather satchel. At the co-op, she wears a different uniform, a food safety white coat with blue collar, pocket trim and buttons. In 1963, on a date, she wears a maroon knee-length mac and black court shoes. In 68, she wears a red leather knee-length coat with a boxy black jacket with a bit of a sparkle and a black skirt. In the second half, Molly wears a black brocade full-length maxi coat and long maroon scarf over a black knee-length dress with red trim worn over the white shirt. Briefly, Molly wears a bold pattern dress, her hair is clipped back. And later, a short, horizontal striped Chanel-style jacket is worn with the black skirt. A black and tan handbag clings to her shoulder. In 1989, the red coat is worn again at the end of an evening. Molly is played by Shirley Darrock. Lucille, played by Georgina Field, is Molly's older sister. She's in her late 40s, of medium height and is stick thin. Her long blonde hair is scraped up and pinned in loops on her crown. She likes a pleated skirt and a cardigan. First off, it's a grey skirt teamed with a white shirt and blue cardigan and 2-inch black stiletto shoes. A tea towel around her waist is an improvised apron. As a child aged 10, in 1953, she wears a young style pleated skirt with a home knit cardi. As a teenager aged 16, she wears a blue and grey skirt and blue cardigan with three-quarter sleeves, her hair in a ponytail. Later, a wedding veil drapes her white shirt. Georgina also plays a co-op worker in a white coat trimmed with blue and as Mrs. Brownlow, a nosy neighbour. She wears a wraparound pinny and turban. Molly's mother and daughter, both named Bridget, are played by Alice McKenna. They're of average height with a slim build. As Molly's mother, her brown hair is secured in a bun. She wears green print cotton dresses and cardigans and at an event wears a pale green coat and hat. As Molly's teenage daughter with very long straight brown hair, she wears three-quarter black leggings, a black leather biker jacket over a cropped red top labelled a Rebel, over a stripy T-shirt. A folded headscarf is worn as a headband. She plays the electric guitar. Later, she wears a blue denim cropped bomber jacket over the stripy top and a blue denim skirt over the leggings and yellow pumps. Most of the men wear grey or black slim-cut slacks, a white shirt and classic black shoes. As members of the band Ronnie Angel and the Devils, they wear their band jackets, black tuxedos with silver black lapels and matching thin lurex ties. They sport dark glasses. Brian is played by Adam Langstaff. He's in his 40s, of medium height and build with short brown hair. He's the drummer. Later, he'll add a mushroom and beige tank top or cardigan. Stan is played by Jim Doerr. He's in his 40s. He's tall, of slim build with short black hair and a moustache. He's the bass player. Later, he'll add a navy blue jacket or cardigan. And for his job as the fishman, he wears a navy blue anorak over a white apron and carries a traditional cool box. When the band opens the second half, he'll wear a waistcoat over his white shirt and a top hat covered with an array of small circular mirrors, very glam rock. Eddie Clark is played by David Ahmed. He's in his 40s, of medium height and build. He has thick, wavy, greying hair brushed back and a moustache. As a crooner, he adds a grey woolen cardigan. As a headmaster, he wears an academic gown. As Eddie, he plays the guitar. And later he'll wear a grey Harrington jacket. And as Eddie, now a counsellor, he wears a grey suit and navy blue mac. Stan, Brian and Eddie also dress as little boys. Frank Fieldhouse is played by Connor Litton. He's in his 40s, tall and slim with short brown hair. He's the community architect. He wears a green cord jacket and carries an early mobile phone. As Jack, Lucille's boyfriend then husband, he wears a brown and yellow patterned zipped top and beige casual jacket, or a charcoal grey leather bomber jacket, and a Lovett green suit with white carnation buttonhole. As Alan Davies, the National Union of Mine Workers' representative, he puts on a green waxed jacket. And as Tony Maguire, a 1964 club manager, he wears a maroon velvet jacket, fancy waistcoat and bow tie. Ronnie Angel is played by Matthew Ganley. He's in his mid-40s, tall and of medium build, with thick black hair. He wears a long black leather coat, sunglasses and carries a suit bag and guitar case. He also plays the part of Jack's dad at a wedding. He has a bald head and wears spectacles and he's dressed in a dark suit. In the 1960s, playing in the band, Ronnie's hair is combed into an Elvis-style quiff. When the band opens the second half, Ronnie wears a suit. Yes, a suit, but it's clingy black leather with red leather trim. The flared trousers drape his silver platform boots. After the set in the dressing room, he wears a red satin full-length dressing gown with black revers, belt and cuffs. At home, he wears a stripy shirt and leather trousers. Wesley, played by Samuel Brenton, is young Bridget's boyfriend. He's in his 20s. He's of average height and slim build, with short brown hair. He's a keyboard player. He also plays Keith, Molly's date in 63, and later plays Stevie in 68. Stevie's dressed in a long army surplus overcoat. His face is partially hidden by his hippie-style long fair hair. Later, Stevie lounges in a pale denim shirt and flared jeans. Wilf is the club steward. He's played by Richard Haig. His age? Well, I think he should have retired years ago. He's of medium height and build with a bit of a paunch. His hair is an odd sort of comb-over. He wears a zipped brown and cream diamond patterned cardi. He pushes a sack truck loaded with beer crates or carries a tray and duster. Richard Haig also plays Molly's granddad. He's in his 50s when Molly is 5. He has a bald head and some grey hair remaining at the back and sides. He's kept his long grey sideburns. He favours a cardigan or tank top and grey slacks. And later he wears a formal suit. Playing an art school lecturer, he wears a car coat and a wig at a gig. Other characters include a skiffle group called Jack and the Aces, more co-op employees, art college dancers, London commuters, miners in donkey jackets holding placards, folk queuing at the Labour Exchange, builders in hard hats, high-vis jackets or bib and brace overalls, local residents, and the boys in short trousers. Please listen on for the credits. Director, Bob Eaton. Designer, Liz Evans. Musical director, Cyan Kent. Lighting and projection designer, Daniela Beatty. Sound designer, Russell Ditchfield. Choreographer and movement director, Beverly Norris Edmonds. Production management, the New Vic team. We hope you enjoy the show.